Good morning, it's lovely to be with you. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Heinrich, and it's a great joy to share the word with you. I am so blessed that I have the privilege to do what I enjoy, to be able to preach the word of God, to be able to worship the Lord with so many incredible people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who love to be in His presence, who love one another, who could have been sleeping in this morning but choose to be here. To shake off the spirit of duvet, to overcome, to rise victoriously as an overcomer, and to enter into the newness of life that the Lord has for us. I'm excited about Sundays. Sunday is Resurrection Day. It's the first day of the week according to the New Testament calendar. And it's a day that everything changed for us when sin, death, and the grave was overcome by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we can have hope in our hearts. And this morning, I would like to give an opportunity to one or two people quickly. Anushka, if you could come, and I just ask Anushka to come and share with us a little bit the journey that she has been on. And good morning to our parents in the parents' room and in the foyer. You guys are welcome as well. And to those of you downloading the sermon on the internet, you are also very welcome. And I trust you will enjoy it with us as well. I'm speaking prophetically for those who will be downloading it. But you are welcome.
Morning, everyone. I just felt while I was sitting in the back this morning, God is full of grace and truth. And it's His love and His word that changes us. And I can just testify of that. We have a small group at work, and we are 8 now. The Lord added 2 more this week, and I'm so excited. And just how God just shaped the journey up until this point. And I know He actually started long before I worked at this firm. I started about a year and a half ago. And just starting having a relationship with the girls and just imparting their lives and not like Bible bashing them, just loving them. And March this year, I came back from maternity leave, and everyone know, yeah, I have children, how tough that is. And I actually started looking for work closer to home. I was just like, okay, I want to be near my baby. And each door I thought is open, it just closed. And actually the last interview I went for, the guy started with prayer, and I thought like, yes, this is mine. This is God. This is happening. And it wasn't. And I thought, okay, God, then, because I work in the northern suburbs, and then it's traveling for me again. It's fine. Sometimes almost 4 hours a day. And March I came back, and then in April, my direct boss got saved, like radically. And I just remember just not like directing God or just like crying for her. Like, God, please save her. I love this woman. I love her. Just, I know that she's got a purpose in this firm and in life. She's a lawyer. She's just like fantastic. And it was always difficult sharing with her because she's got a degree in, what do you call it? Okay, either one. it was difficult to share with her. Okay, let's leave it at that. And then just God saved in April. And she was actually baptized with the Holy Spirit in this week. And she settled in Cape Town in a cell group, starting Bible school in June. So happy. And from there on, God just laid in my heart, we should start a cell group. Maybe just once a week, just like put my foolish out, just starting talking to the girls and how would you like to join a cell group or just like, it's not a nisperig plek nie. You can just come and share or just sit and kijk net hoe like. And it's just, God is just walking this discipleship road with us. About 2 weeks ago, a girl and her husband got baptized, and it's just impacting my life because I can just see God is working. I'm not doing anything. I'm just being there and just enjoying the ride. It's just fantastic. And I just want to encourage you today. God wants to partner with us. He loves us. He loves this broken world. He loves them. And he sees them for not who they are now, for who they really are in him. And we must pray that we see them as God sees them, because they will not be saved by a judging finger. It's his love that draws us. It's his love that leads to repentance, his goodness that leads to repentance. And he's changing me in this road as well, just walking with him. And I'm just so excited, even though I'm crying. And I just want to encourage you, there where you are, you may be frustrated, but there's a purpose. Go to God. He will show you. It doesn't matter if you're in management or in ground level, God wants to use you. And this morning he just revealed to me the group that we've got now is actually, he put together out of each department at work. And I never noticed it. So he's covering the bases. It's just fantastic. And I'm just excited what's going to happen. Yeah. And I just want to thank Heinrich and the Bible School 3 class just for really walking with me and praying with me. And because it's a new thing for me as well to disciple 8 girls. It's just amazing how God is just helping me and challenging me as well. And they are just there with the WhatsApps and the group praying for me. If I don't know anything, they are encouraging me. And just in the fellowship of saints, it's really a safe place to be. Thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Anushka. Hallelujah. It's so exciting. It's amazing. I always say that, you know, there's a place where we invite people to church, but it's so amazing where we can actually take church to the people where they are at. And that's what we have been created to be as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to wait for people to come to us, but also to go to them with the love that the Lord Jesus has given us. So thank you, Anushka, for inspiring us and for being obedient to the Lord. And we trust in the Lord also for your little one and for the time that you're needing to spend with her. The Lord will bless the time that you do have with her. We bless you and Carl. You guys are inspiration to us. Yuan, I would also like you to come and share just what your experience has been at the shelter on Father's Day and just what the Lord has done in your heart and through your small group. Thank
you. Morning, everyone. I feel like the psalmist this morning. It says, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Thank you, worship team. It was amazing. Heinrich asked me last night to share a short story, and I'll leave some detail out. Otherwise, it will turn into a sermon. So I'll really try and keep it short. And I just want to emphasize that this story is not about me or about our cell group. I'm sorry, I just get emotional quite quickly because God has really put a burden on my heart for the brokenhearted and the fatherless. And tomorrow, about 4 weeks ago, I drove home one night in peak hour traffic, and I saw a young man, homeless young man. But my concern was not that he was homeless. In the moment that my eyes met with him along the road, and I just felt God's pain for some reason. And God said to me, Johan, that's one of my sons. Turn around. And now, you know, you start with all these excuses. Yeah, but Lord, it's peak hour traffic. I can't make a U-turn and all these things. And I found my wife and said, babes, come pick up the kids. I'll be late. This is going to be a long night for me. So I turned around and went looking for him. And lo and behold, the guy's gone. And I said, Lord, I heard your voice. I'm not going to give up on this. And I turned around, and I drove up and down, couldn't find him, and I kept on praying. I said, Lord, I know that you gave me a message. And I turned around, and eventually I find the young man sitting on a park bench next to the Lerones River. And as I stopped my car, he gets up and he walks away, but I could stop only quite far away. So I started yelling. I said, hey, wait, you know, and then I said, Lord, come on, man, you're really making this difficult for me. And so eventually I turns around and I say, I come sit here. And he's 26 years old, but a beautiful young man, the bluest eyes I've seen in a long time. And I sat next to him on the bench and I said, what's your name? And we introduced each other. And I said, are you hungry? He says, you know what? But you could see he's down and out, torn clothes and everything. And he says to me, you know what? I've got bread in my bag. And I'm like, oh, there's no waste. That's the truth. And I said, you know, do you want something warm to eat? He says, you know what? A cup of coffee would be nice. So I pick him up, put his stuff in my car, take him to McDonald's, and I buy him a meal. And I just fellowship for an hour and a half with this young man. I've never met before in my life, but he's somebody's son. He's somebody's brother. And I said to him, Roy, is there anything I can do for you? Until today, he hasn't asked me for a thing. The only thing he said to me is, I haven't had a braai place, the smell of braai fire. One of the worship guys mentioned a while ago the smell of a braai place, and that was even before then. And he said, I haven't had it for 8 years. You know, and I said, that's bad, because we can have it whenever we want. So I approached our home cell. I said, guys, listen, there's a basic need. We're getting involved here, my wife and I. Can we bless these guys? Can we put some money in the kitty, buy a scarf or two, and just go and have scarf chops on a braai, you know? And everybody pulled in and said yes, pitched in money-wise, and we got it together. And that was a Wednesday evening. The Thursday morning, I go back to the shelter, and I say to the lady in charge there, listen, this is what we want to do. And she's like, a jaw drops, and she says, yesterday we had a meeting, and we said we've got nothing planned for Father's Day, which was last Sunday. And you guys, it's like a miracle. Yes, please. And I'm like, I didn't mean like now. We wanted like 2 or 3 weeks in advance, you know. And again, God said to me, it's not about us. It's not about how well we plan it. We must just be available. That's God's grace. We must just be available. So short notice, got everybody involved. Organized with the butcher. We didn't ask them for a cent discount. They gave us about 500 rand discount. We didn't ask for a donation whatsoever. I just said, this is what we're doing, and I need the butcher's advice on how many meat for the amount of people. And he said, sure, bless you guys. 500 rand off that account. God has just been so amazing. And then last Sunday, we had the braai. Everybody from my home cell was there. Everybody pitched in. Two of the guys were braaiing. I mean, their faces were red afterwards. And our vision for the braai was, like the lady said, I don't know you, but it's the same story, just different words, is that it's not about Bible bashing. It's not about going there with brimstone and fire. And there's a scripture I wanted to read this morning, but for some reason the Holy Spirit put in my heart, and I must just mention the scripture, and everybody must just go and read it themselves and ask God's wisdom in it. And that's James 2:14, which says, shall I go say to somebody, go and be full, and not, you know, give them their basic needs? And something in my walk there for the last 4 weeks, I discovered one simple fact from most of the stories there, that most of us are 2 or 3 paychecks away from knocking on the shelter's door. Most of the stories there is people that just had a really bad luck and bad rap in life. And our God is amazing again. Friday night, my wife and I have a date night every 2 weeks or so. And I said to her, babes, how do you feel about spending date night at the shelter? And she said, why not? It will be a blessing. And we went to the shelter, and we spent our date night there just fellowshipping with people. There's a lot of judgment and rejection and hurt and brokenness. And again, fatherless people staying there. And the braai opened the door for us to just be part of the family, because that's our heart, is to just love unconditionally, like the lady said just now. And I'm sure this is the message that Heinrich wanted me to share this morning. It's not about us. It's about being available and just being there. Thank you.
Thanks, Johan. Thanks, Johan. Thanks to you and your small group. And when I asked Johan last night whether you'd be willing to share with us, he said, yeah. But, you know, he always gets very emotional. And so I said, he'll be in good company. Kurt and myself, we cry all the time. So... So it's okay. It's okay. And last week, Sunday, we had an awesome message by Dr. Moll. Spoke about love and what love is. Love is a verb. Amen. It's not a song. It's not an emotion. It can manifest itself in a song. In it. It touches our emotions, but love is a verb. It's an action. And how the Lord has called us to love people. And a few weeks ago, when I shared with you the last time, I gave a little bit of a warning, and I said, for us as small groups, we're scaling down now. You will see that in July, we don't have anything really happening in terms of programs. So we want to encourage you as small groups to really pray about where it is the Lord wants you to get involved. A few Saturdays ago, we had the lovely privilege of having Katie's birthday party at the fire station. It's such a blessing just to go there to meet Mr. Masterson, the station commander there, and just to see his heart for kids and his heart for the community. And so I want to encourage you, if you just want to go and bless the firemen, they work 24-hour shifts, just go in there maybe Wednesday evening as a small group, take them some hot chocolate and pizza, just express your love and your appreciation for them. Police station close to you, an old age home, shelter, whatever it is, there are so many opportunities just waiting for us. As Jesus has said, the harvest is ripe. It's there for the plucking. People just need his love. People just need to know that there are people who care for them, not because it's the church's program, or because we want to feel better about ourselves, because that is who Jesus Christ is. He reached out to us when we were unlovable, and he loved us. And just something very practical I want to recommend to each and every one of you is to get involved with your local neighborhood watch. Just amazing doors that are opening up for us now. Just so many beautiful people we are meeting. Yesterday, Johan Stadler and Kurt and myself and our girls, we went out in the park in Westridge, and we just cleaned up the park together with our neighbors as part of a neighborhood watch initiative. And when you join the group, they share on the group where there were burglaries, where there are sicknesses. It's amazing how you can then pray, you can get involved with people, and we can make a practical difference. Because the Lord has called us to be salt and light. Amen. And salt and it's easy shining our light here. This is where we practice loving one another. This is where we practice sharing our testimony. This is where we practice worshiping God. But this isn't the sum total. This is just the training ground. This is the encouraging room. This is where we come together and we encourage each other, and we boost one another, and we love each other. We put the band-aid on and we pray for the healing so we can go out and we can be the hands and feet that Jesus called us to be. So please pray about it. Trust the Lord to show you what you need to do with your money, with your time, with your date nights, with your car, with all of those things. Consecrate it to the Lord. I want to continue sharing with you from the scripture that Brad stole from me this morning, Zephaniah 3, verse 14. I read it three Sundays ago, and I'm just sort of still stuck on this whole concept of what it means to have God with us, what it means to have the living God living in our midst and being amongst us. And all the songs we sang this morning, band, thank you so much, just awesome, speaks about the grandeur and the greatness of our God and who he is. And so I'm going to read these three or four verses with you, basically again as an introduction. He says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion." And Zephaniah is speaking to the people of God. They were in a tough spot. They were rebellious. They were apathetic. They were a little bit clueless. But then he comes to them and he gives them this hope. And he says to them, "Sing, O daughter of Zion." There's something about music, isn't there, that's universal. It's something about music that lifts the heart, that lifts the spirit. I often go onto YouTube and then I'm fascinated by these talent shows and America's Got Talent and Who's Got Talent. I don't know whoever else has got talent, but always somewhere along the line you have this most beautiful, incredible song or performance that comes from the most unlikeliest of person. It doesn't matter how experienced those judges have been. They've probably seen everything and heard everything. Somewhere along the line, there still comes a voice that just grabs the heart, turns people into jelly. What is it? There's a power of music. Music is never neutral. Music is probably one of the most powerful spiritual forces that God has created, because it is a reflection of the desire he's created inside each one of us to worship, to reach out to God. And here the prophet comes and he says to God's people, "Sing." And he uses such an affectionate term. He says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion." He speaks to her as a girl. He says, "O daughter of Zion, you are known by God. You're not just a rebellious people. You're not just the faceless, nameless mass of people. You're precious. You've got a name, daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel." And, you know, inevitably somewhere, whenever we come together, normally in our services, you will have some guy shouting, eh? Either the guy at the front or someone sitting there shouting. And that's quite biblical. Okay, that's the Lord has called us to give expression to the joy that he has put inside of us. "Be glad and rejoice with all your heart." And when Nadia shared that vision with us this morning, I just felt the Lord wanted me to read this again. It says, "Rejoice with all your heart." You know what often happens is we leave some of the broken pieces of our hearts outside. And we've been conditioned very much for most of our lives to give people the best part of our hearts. As Brad has said, when you go on those dates initially, you know, you go and you put your, what do? You put your best foot forward, right? Because you want to make an impression. So you present to your potential life partner the best parts of your heart. And we meet people and we give them the best parts of our heart. We give them the things we think they will like. We give them the things we think they will fall in love with. None of us start off saying to our wives now, our husbands now, look, here's the worst part of me. Please love this. Please fall in love with this. No. You put your best foot forward. But the reality is that love can truly only grow when we love with all of our hearts. When we engage all of our hearts in. And that's why marriage is so powerful. That's why it's such a beautiful expression of the love of God. Because it is within marriage that God gives us the opportunity to rejoice and to celebrate someone even when we know the worst parts of them. And God wants that to manifest within us as well, as believers. That's why very often you will find that you come into church or you come into a small group or you join a band, you join a ministry, maybe even you reach out to the shelter, or you reach out the fire station, and initially God is on your side. Things are going well. The butcher gives you 500 rand discount. People respond. The people get saved at work. And you just know, man, this is awesome. This is God. And you go into, when you come to church and, man, everybody smiles. Everyone is happy and people come and they share with me and say, wow, this is such an amazing group of people. I feel so loved. This is so incredible. And you know, this is the honeymoon phase. This is that phase that you need for your hearts to bond. It needs to go well so that your heart can bond. But then you also know the honeymoon phase does not last forever. And the honeymoon phase is precious and it is important, but there is a place where love needs to grow beyond the things that just go right. It needs to grow beyond the places where we agree with one another all the time and you like everybody all the time. You need to get to that place where you grow through the conflict and you grow through the disagreements where you have a massive fight with a band leader and he wants to sing a song you don't want to sing or stuff happens in a small group and some people feel you should multiply, some feel you shouldn't, some feel you should go to the beach, do an outreach there, some feel no, it's the old age home, some feel you should sing more and louder, some feel no, you're singing too loud. Then you've got the decisions to make. Some feel no, we should just sing and preach less. Some feel no, we need more teaching and less songs. There's a place where we need to get to where we say, okay, we love in spite of the disagreements. And there's a power that gets revealed and released through that. What is that? That is where you love with all of your heart. And the Lord is just encouraging me to encourage you to bring all of your heart, you know, even into this meeting, into our fellowship with one another. Bring your heart. Bring the pieces that are broken. Bring the pieces that are unsure. Bring the pieces that are hurt maybe. And trust the love that the Lord places in our midst. Trust the fact that He is in control. Trust the fact that it is God in our midst that is mighty to save. It is not the people around you that are mighty to save. It is not the small group that is mighty to save. It's not the pastor that is mighty to save. It's not the awesome songs being sung by the band that is mighty to save. It is God that is mighty to save. And so when we open up, when we bring our hearts not because we primarily trust the people, but because we trust God. We believe in the church and in the fact that God calls us to pray for one another, to say to Anushka, Anushka, your dream for your boss and for your colleagues to be saved is not just your dream anymore. It is now our dream. We take ownership of that with you. We put that on our prayer list and we pray with you. The shelter now becomes not just one individual's attempts to try and do something. It becomes all of us together as we pray, as we give finances, as we reach out together. The beauty of doing life together. But there is a place where we realize, as important as our agreement is, the fact of the matter is this. That unless God is with us, we will simply establish another NGO. We will simply establish another soup kitchen. We will simply establish some counseling and we will work on the surface. The superficial things of changing people's lives. And you can take someone out of the shelter and put them into a lovely home, but unless God is at work changing that person's heart, nothing much changes. Unless there's something supernatural in our midst, unless there is a reason why we can sing, even when things are not going well. I shared this with you a few weeks ago, how my life was changed in my last mission trip to Malawi, just spending time with those pastors. And this one specific pastor that he was the guy that sang the loudest, danced the most. He was just such an infectious person to be around. And it was only later on when I spoke to him, I discovered he's going through one of the most traumatic times of his life. You know, his wife was kidnapped, I think 3 months before that, by his uncle and her uncle and her dad, because they converted from Islam to Christianity. And he says, I don't know whether I will see her again. I'm trying. But I do know God has called me to be a pastor. I do know God has called me to love his people and to reach out. And I have the choice. Will I stop being a pastor and see my wife again, leave Christianity and go back to being a Muslim and see my wife, or will I remain true to my Lord? What a choice. What a choice to make. And yet, in spite of that hurt and that pain, there is the element of what I see in Zephaniah saying here, there's a rejoicing. There's a shouting. Why? Because his God is mighty to save. And I just want to encourage you guys, when we come together in a morning like this and we're worshiping the Lord, trust the Lord to open your eyes to see him high and exalted, to see him as the mighty one. Because the truth is this, our revelation of the grandeur and the majesty of God determines our worship. I shared with the church in Stellenbosch last week or the week before, I'm not sure when. It becomes a bit of a blur sometimes. What set my thoughts thinking was this movie clip from The Avengers. And I know you guys can't relate because none of you watch those kinds of movies. But there's this one clip from the first Avengers movie. Okay, and this is not doctrine. This is not biblical truth. It's a Hollywood movie. But it just stirred my mind a little bit. There's this alien race, as there always is. And they come from some distant galaxy from far away. And then they focus on America, okay, to conquer America. Now, lately, the movies are becoming a little bit more politically correct, so they also show South Africa and they show India as well. But inevitably, it's the guy from America rising up. Okay? And so low-key, this demigod from some other galaxy, he comes and he wants to rule the planet, of course. He wants to be worshipped. And so it's this massive battle between the guardians of the earth called the Avengers and all these alien guys. Okay, and they're fighting against one another. And at one stage, Loki is fighting against the Hulk. Okay? And they're in this battle. And then Loki shouts and says, "Stop! I'm a god! You are all beneath me!" And while he's busy saying that, Hulk grabs him by the ankle, smashes him to the ground. And he walks away and he says, "Puny god." And I looked at that and I realized, you know, so often it happens to us that we're in a situation and our understanding of who God is, for me, I realize my own heart, sometimes I'm confronted by a massive challenge, a mountain, something that challenges my faith or challenges my life. And I have to be honest about the fact that that mountain appears in my own mind bigger than my God. Remember the spies going out into the promised land. They said that they can't conquer the promised land because of the giants there. In spite of the fact that God was with them. Why? What happened there? Their understanding of God, they actually had an understanding of a puny God with him. An insignificant God. A small God. A God who was powerless to do what he had promised to do. And the revelation the Lord is just busy dropping into my heart is this. And that is that my understanding of what it means to have God with me, God in my midst, determines everything about my life. The question, who is God, is the single most important question for any individual, any family, any church, any nation. It defines who we are. Because when we say that the Lord is with us, he's in our midst, if he is with us, if he is in our midst, and if we believe him to be mighty to save, then that will impact everything about us. It will change the way we think. It will change the way we talk. It will change the way we spend our finances, our time, everything. The reality of who is this God that is with us? Who is this mighty one that is in our midst? And so I want to take you to that portion of scripture very quickly in Matthew. Where the angel comes to Matthew Joseph. And he shares with him this very important prophecy. Just go to that one in Matthew 1. Where he comes and he says to Joseph, all of this was done. Go back to verse 20. Okay, verse 21. He shares with him this prophecy of what will happen, of how, of what is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. And says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Verse 21 is okay. Thanks, Nadine. Nadine, it's okay, yeah. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And we shared with one another that Jesus means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is salvation. The very fact that we are worshiping Jesus, when we are calling on the name of Jesus, when we are singing to Jesus, we are singing to a God who is active. We're singing to a God who is involved. Brad said it this morning. It's not a one-way relationship. We're not singing to a passive God. We're not singing to a God who's far away from us. We're not singing to a God who cannot be touched by our emotions or by our needs. We are singing to a God who is salvation, who is actively busy working in our lives. And that's why an idol is such a dangerous thing, because an idol looks away from the one who is saving, from the one who is healing, from the one who is delivering, from the one who is already at work, and puts our attention on something else. Food, sport, money, drugs, sex, work, people's opinion, whatever it is, it puts our attention on something else besides on the God who is busy saving. The God who is busy actively at work in our lives. And that's why Jesus came. And the angel says the reason why Jesus came, and there are many reasons, but this is the first one that he mentions, is to save God's people from their sins. Nowadays, it's not popular to talk about sin. We don't want to focus on sin. But the reality is the Bible says a lot about sin. And scripture here says that the reason why Jesus came was because of sin. Was to save God's people from sin. Why? Because sin is designed to move us away from God. Sin is what separated us from God. Sin is the veil over the image of God. Remember, God created us in his image? Then we sinned and that image got marred. That image now is buried underneath so much anger and selfishness and pride. And Jesus comes to save us from that. So how important is sin? Sin is very important. The price that was paid to deal with sin was the very life of God's own son. So I do not think we can say that sin is insignificant. I do not think we can say that we cannot talk about sin. Because it was sin that led God to sending his son. Because he knew that mankind couldn't save themselves from sin. Didn't matter how high the temple was. It did not matter how many sacrifices were made. It didn't matter how many songs were sung. It didn't matter what man tried to do. He could not save himself from sin. He could not get across that gap between his own fallenness and God's holiness. God is holy. He's loving, but he is holy. He is God. He cannot deny himself. He cannot be in the presence of sin. Otherwise, he would not be God. So God had to make a plan, and that plan was Jesus. So he sends Jesus to deal with sin, to save us from our sins, when we look to him and not to our own efforts. And often in my own life, I understand that when I begin to look away from Jesus, inevitably I begin to look towards my own efforts to justify myself, to evaluate how big will my worship be today? How spontaneous, how boisterous, how expressive will my worship be this morning? Do I base that upon how good a week I had in terms of my prayer life? My worship with God, whether I was a good husband or a good father, whether I feel like I'm doing this Christian thing. You know, sometimes you go through your life and you're like, you actually feel like a good Christian. Yeah, you know, the prayer life is going well and, you know, you're patient with your wife and you're forgiving and, you know, you smile to people who are nasty with you and you just, okay, yeah, this feels good. You know, and then the worship comes easy, doesn't it? Then it's like, yes, man. You know, you sort of go into it with a spring in the step. Like Kurt jumped off the stage this morning and he was dancing. You know, you just feel like, and it's so easy to enter into the presence of God. Because I feel good. I've got some success stories. You know, like David, I've conquered the lion and I've conquered the bear. Bring on Goliath. You know, and we all need to have those experiences in our life. Because God is a God that is wanting to take us from victory to victory. But you know, when you really break through the moments when your worship is the sweetest, It's when your focus is not on your effort. Your focus and your worship of God is not determined by whether you scored a 7. Our kids now, the school closed then, so it's report card time. Eh? 7 and 6s and all of those things. You're being graded all the time in your life. Your key performance appraisals at work, you're always being graded. It's a way that we're raised. And we get into the presence of God and we've got the subconscious report card as well. How am I being graded this week? In terms of my self-discipline and all of those things that I need to have. And we all have our checklists in our heads. It makes me a good Christian. Some of us based upon our level of faith or upon all sorts of things. But our worship can never be determined by our performance. If our worship of God, the intensity of our worship, the honesty of our worship, the vulnerability of our worship, if that is determined by how good I feel about myself, I'm giving God less than what He is worthy. My worship needs to be fueled by and determined by what Christ has done. By His greatness, by His glory. And that's why I love the songs we are singing. It's not so much about us loving Him. It is about us surrendering to His love for us. And when our focus is on how great He is and what He has done, then it becomes easy to love Him in return. Because who would not want to love a King like our Jesus? And that's the beauty of what the Lord is holding before us when we go to the shelter, to the neighborhood watch, or to our colleagues at work, when we present them with a Jesus who loves in spite of ourselves. Who would not want to fall in love with a King like that? Who wouldn't want to be drawn to someone who loves you even in your worst moments, especially in your worst moments? Who wouldn't want to be drawn to a King who says, I'm here to celebrate you and sing over you. I still see the image of God inside of you, even when it has been buried by 3 divorces, countless abortions, corruption, whatever. And that is our challenge. Our challenge is to look at people around us and say, but I look at you as an image bearer of God. I look at you as someone who can house the very presence of the Lord. The angel goes on and he says to Joseph that there's this name given to Jesus. Let's go to the next verse, verse 22. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And like I've said, I'm meditating on this. I'm stuck on this. These 3 words, God with us. God with us. And I'm stuck on God, just God. And I know you're sitting there and you're looking at me and like, it's a futile exercise. I know you should know by now, you cannot wrap your head around God. But I want to encourage you to take this holiday time. Take July when things are a little bit rustiger. And just focus again on God. Go and read up on scripture. Who is this God that is with us? Because if I were to say to you, Kurt, I'll be with you this week. You know, Kurt will be excited because he likes me. But you know, it's not really going to change his life too much. But if God is with you, God with you. If He is with you, then this week has got the potential to be the best week ever. Because God is with you. Spurgeon said it so beautifully that when the great tempter comes knocking on your heart's door, whisper to him, God with us. And see him quiver in his boots. God with us. It seems to me that this is the very essence of the gospel. It seems to me that this is the very essence of the spiritual battle that has been raging since the very dawn of man. God with us. That this was the strategy from the devil to make us doubt whether God is with us. To drive a wedge between our hearts and God. Because what does it mean if God is with us? It means that God knows you. That He understands you. That He's not far away from you. Emmanuel. God with us. There's this beautiful portion in Isaiah 40. Go to that next scripture, please, Nadine. Isaiah 40. And when I read this, it sort of showed me just what's in many of our hearts. Here, Jesus has to come to answer this question. God had to send Jesus to demonstrate to mankind, I'm with you. The prophet speaks to the people of God. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. In other words, God, I've got some things going on in my heart, and it seems that you have forgotten about them. God, I've got some dreams in my heart that you've given me, and it seems like I'm left to try and figure out my life by myself. God, I've got a challenge with my marriage, and it seems that you are not interested in solving this problem, giving me the solution. God, I've got a challenge at work with my boss and trying to figure out what it is that I need to do to win his approval or to be successful, and it seems like you are not interested. God, I don't have a job, and it seems to me like you do not care. God, I'm ill, and it seems you have forgotten about this disease. You're healing everybody around me besides me. God, I've got a dream to change the world, and I can't even manage my budget. Seems like you have forgotten about me. Why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord, my just claim is passed over by my God? And then he goes on, have you not known? Have you not heard? You know, and when we come together, why is it so beautiful a morning like this, as Johan said? When something stirs in our hearts to just shout out like David did, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David is probably the one guy that did not need the house of the Lord, if you go and look at scripture. If you look at his vibrant, passionate, intimate relationship with the Lord. He had this direct line to God. He was outside of the religious confines of his day. He did many things that even the priests were not allowed to do. And God said, you're a man after my own heart. He had such a powerful relationship with God, and yet he chose to be amongst the people of God. Nobody forced him. There was a love for the house of God, and I believe part of that was because it's when we come together, we can remind each other of the things we have heard, the things we have seen. When we worship, when we praise God, what do? We remind ourselves of this awesome God that we serve. Right? And you walk in, and sometimes in the first song is a bit of a challenge, but the more you focus on him, the more you sing about him, you begin to understand this great God that we serve. You refocus. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The previous verses of Isaiah 40, please go and read it. He speaks about this great God, about the one that weighs the nations in a scale, and says they weigh less than dust to the Lord. He spans the universe with his hand. That is the God that is with us. And he looks at the greatness of the God and says, Jacob, this God is so great, so awesome, but in spite of his greatness, in spite of his majesty, he isn't too big for your heart. He isn't too big for your weakness. He isn't too big for your need for wisdom. The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. It's without boundaries. Let's go on. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. As we go into this holiday, my plea to you is this. Don't just look to your extra sleep. Don't just look to the books that you will now be able to read, as wonderful as those opportunities are. Don't look to those things to be your primary source of refueling for the second part of this year. Look to God. Look to God. I just felt a prophetic urgency in my heart to say to you that the Lord is wanting to finish strong with us as we head into the second part of the year. There's so much that has been building up in the spirit, so much that he has been working in your heart that is going to manifest, that is going to break through, that is going to be revealed in the latter part of this year. And then you need to be able to keep up. You need to be able to be strong spiritually, not in your flesh, not striving, but by yielding to God, by leaning into him, by we sang the song, I will fall at your feet. by falling at His feet. Falling at the feet of the one when you are weak, when you do not have understanding, He does. When you sit with the broken pieces of your life, you can look to the Creator of the ends of the earth. The one that can bring forth beauty out of chaos. Lean into Him. And the youths, we all get there. The place where your strength fails and when you're weary and when you fall. Let's go on to the next verse. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Only a great God can revitalize you. Now, I must be honest, I don't think I will be able to do religion and still be a Christian. I will not be able to serve a God who isn't actively involved in my life, who does not touch my heart, who isn't able to do what I cannot do for myself. I will not be able to just go through the motions. A dead, puny, religious God cannot fill you with strength when you are weak, cannot lift you out of your emotional depression and give you a perspective. Cannot empower you to forgive when you've been hurt so much that your very heart feels dead. A puny God cannot do that. But a mighty God, the God who is alive, can breathe into a lump of clay and turn it into life. I was thinking about this, having God with us, and I thought about the miracle that took to have this incredible God come and become human. Not just possess a human body, but to become human, to become like us, to understand us. And I thought about it, and it still fuses my brain cells. And I lie awake at night and I think about it. But I realize, you know, it's probably 100 times, 1,000 times more complicated than taking the sun in all of its grandeur and all of its brilliance and all of its intensity, taking the sun and squeezing the sun into the torch on your phone. You take the little light that we all have on our phones. Try and squeeze the sun into that. It was even more amazing. God becoming human. God with us. And the implications of God with us, God becoming human, is what inspires us to go to a place like the shelter. Inspires us to go to a prison. Inspires us to get involved with the crashes in Solaris Pass. Why? Because Jesus is God incarnated. God becoming human. God now dwelling in flesh and bone. And if God can dwell in me, He can surely dwell in anyone else. And so when we look at people, we don't just look at people to help people to give a better life. We look at people who can house the very presence of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we have to say to them, Jesus has come to pay the price for your sins so that He can be with you. So that you can be His tabernacle. So that you can know that He wants to pour His strength into you when you are weak. I'm finally being able to read again, like I haven't read in a long time. And I'm so blessed by the opportunity I have. And I've been reading this book by Herman Gilomeer on Stellenbosch. It's an amazing book. It deals with how Stellenbosch started, and it deals with the intricacies of slavery and just how that's interwoven into the very fabric of who we are as an Afrikaner community. And the reality of all of that, seeing and understanding that there's a place where God wants to come, and God wants to come and redeem things in our DNA as South Africans. God wants to come, and God wants to move beyond just what the laws of a nation can try to do. Because who knows that the law can only take you so far. Not so far, so far. The law, you can change the law, you can take away all the signs and all of those things, but there's a place where only God can change a heart. Where only God can break bondages and bring deliverance. A supernatural God. And heaven knows that our nation does not need more religion. Does not need more church buildings and more songs. Our nation needs a people who know that God is with us. Because He is with us, we go to those who do not know that He is with us. Or maybe have an understanding of this God. A God who cares only for the rich but has no desire to reach out to the poor. Do you know how that has been ingrained in the very fabric of our society? How that has been perpetuated from the Dutch East Indian Company that came to the authorities in Stellenbosch and this entire region, how they must preach to the poor. We will minister God's love to you, but you cannot be baptized, because if you get baptized, then we need to make peace with the fact I cannot have a Christian brother as a slave. I will have to set you free, so we will not baptize you. We will not serve communion to you, because we need you to be poor. There's a spiritual reality to the way the church is doing church that we will have to confront, saints. A God who has to come into our lives, and unless God with me does not make me uncomfortable in my own skin, living in my house, wearing the clothes that I have, going on my holidays, unless God with me doesn't impact me in a very profound way, my God is probably too small. Unless he doesn't come from time to time, as Brad shared with me a while ago, he came back from Europe, his life turned upside down because God dealt with his heart over there, showed him parts of Europe and darkness there in his own heart, and says, I'm turning you upside down. But a God whom we keep at a distance, that God never comes into our hearts and turns us upside down. He never speaks to us about our money, never speaks to us about our holidays, never speaks to us about our cars, never speaks to us about our sexual identity, to the way we use our computers and our phones and our internet and the books we read, never. Because it's religious God that we leave behind on a Sunday morning and we go on with our lives. But not a mighty God. Not a God who's with us. That God changes everything about us. Consistently, continuously. And as we are being changed, so the communities around us cannot help to be changed as well. As we were cleaning the park yesterday, I don't know when the last time was the park was clean, but boy, we picked up a lot of stuff there. You know, and initially, it was just simply things that people had left behind. It made a mess. It made our park dirty. Shoes and clothes and some of the stuff had been there for so long and grass was growing into it and through it and became part of the very vegetation. Bottles and... But as I was walking through the park and picking stuff up, it only hit me last night as I was lying in bed. I said, God, that was someone's shoe. That was someone at one stage had that bottle as the only piece of comfort. I'm looking at the debris and the wreckages of people's lives. And we're picking up physical stuff now. And it's important for me to get there, to see it again, to engage physically with a broken community, because God is wanting to say to us, I'm wanting you to pick up the broken pieces of people's lives. I need you to look beyond just the shoe, just the dirty bottle, just the broken piece of glass lying there. And I need you to understand that each one of those people carries an image of God. Waits for me to come and breathe upon them. Will you be a people that believes that I'm with you? I want us to go to the last verse, Nadine, Acts 4. Peter and John, we know the story. I'll be done in 5 minutes. They're outside the gate, beautiful. They meet this crippled man, and this man begs. And they say, we don't have money, but what we do have is name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's this we give to you. So the guy gets healed, and then the people around them get all worked up. We were thinking about the other day, just a bunch of shofar leaders, some of our most vehement battles that we had to fight in the media and spiritually speaking came when we started getting involved with the orphans. When we said we will not just house orphans, we will actually disciple them. We will raise them as history makers, as people who have the potential to carry the very presence of God and to change their families and their societies. The world is okay if we just hand out soup. Just give people clothes, soothe our conscience. But when we say that we look at people and we want to give them the blankets, we want to give them the clothes, we want to give them the homes, so that we can disciple them into believing whom God says they are, so that they can understand, I'm more than just someone that receives something from someone else. God has called me to be more than my past. He's called me to walk in a sense of overcoming, a spirit of overcoming. People get upset when that happens. I just want to put this out there to us. When we get involved, we reach out to the poor. One of the first things Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has preached me. And the first thing He has called me, the first thing He mentions is to preach good news to the poor. And I believe the Lord is just calling us as a congregation. And all of us as shofar back to that place where we say, God, what we have in our midst, God with us. If God with us does not translate into good news to the poor, we need to change our perspective of the God that is with us. Otherwise, we're like the Dead Sea. It just runs into a place and there's no outlet. I realized this the other day. Oxygen. We cannot live without oxygen. But if you keep on doing this, you never exhale. You will die of too much oxygen. A church that never flows eventually just dies. And you don't even know that you're dead. So it's my own heart, the Lord is just saying, just don't try and figure out how, just start somewhere. For me, it was just take your girl, go and clean the park, Heinrich. Don't think about who you're going to meet there and who's going to get saved. Just clean the park. Just involve your heart. And allow me to do the rest. We've met 3 beautiful other couples in the meantime and things are beginning to happen. I want to encourage you with this. The Lord is standing poised to do awesome things. By what power, by what name have you done this? They ask him. Then Peter, remember the guy that fled from the voice of that little slave girl, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. And salvation means more than just being saved from your sins. It incorporates the transformation of your entire being. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, except the name of Jesus. And that is the name that we come together to worship and to praise. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And I looked at that verse and I marveled again to think of all the excuses I have very often as to why God cannot move through me. It says there, those guys were uneducated and they were untrained. In actual fact, they had a very bad reputation as being cowards. They were so selfish. They were so impatient. You know, they very often wanted to call fire down from heaven to destroy cities. They didn't want to follow Jesus. You know, they were arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom. They all had wonderful promises they made to Jesus. We will follow you, Jesus. And then none of them were there except John and the woman. They didn't have a good reputation. Didn't have a good CV. But something clicked in their hearts. They realized the resurrected Lord was with them. Something changed. It says they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The focus wasn't to run after the signs and the miracles. The focus when Jesus sent them to Jerusalem, He didn't send them to Jerusalem and say to them, go and perform as many miracles as you possibly can and people will be drawn to me. He said, wait for me. When the Holy Spirit came, gave them an understanding, God is with us, then the signs and the miracles followed. Some of us carry so many desires and dreams in our hearts, things the Lord has given you. And I just want to say to you, do not run after techniques, keys, principles. Run after Jesus. Pursue Him with everything that you have. Because it is then that people will realize that we had been with Jesus. So what the Lord has been challenging me on is simply this. The question isn't, is God with us? The question really is, am I with God? And when I'm with Him, when I've been with Him, I've been in His presence, people will know that. They will know that. I want to pray for us as we can stand, and I would like us to sing one more song. Something about the glorious Jesus we serve. Any one of those beautiful songs that you had for us. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And I want to just pray this prayer of consecration over our hearts as we go into July. I really believe it's a very significant month for us. Many of us will be away on holiday for a few weeks. Some of you will take your holiday a little bit later. But I want to just stand with you and with us as parents as well in the foyer and the parents' room. That we will have our hearts just consecrated for God to come and do in us what He wants to, whenever He wants to. That we will surrender to Him. Maybe there's a piece in something in your heart that you feel, oh, God isn't great in this area of my life. This mountain is bigger than God. Bring that to the Lord this morning. Say to Him, God, I'm laying this thing down at your feet. Richard spoke about it this morning. I'm putting this idol, this thing that is bigger than you, I'm laying it down. I'm asking you to open my eyes for me to see you. What does it mean to have you with me? But more than that, God, I surrender my heart to you. My wallet, my mind, my dreams, my work, my family life, the way I raise my kids, the way I discipline them. I yield all of that simply for this one desire. I want people to know, I want my wife to know, I want my kids to know that I've been with you. Father, thank you that we're living in the day and in the age when the veil has been torn and that Jesus, you are with us. Thank you that you are Emmanuel. Thank you that you are not a God who is far away from us. And we acknowledge, Lord, that it is only in your name that we can be saved. Thank you for giving us the name above every other name. And thank you, we know we cannot save ourselves. And so we look to you this morning, Jesus. And I want you to just in your own heart to just ask the Holy Spirit to show you if there's an area where you've been looking to your own strength. Isaiah says the youths faint, they grow weary. And there's a faintness in some of our hearts, there's a weariness in some of our bones, and it's because we've been looking to our own efforts. Not deliberately, it just sort of happened. And the Lord is saying that I'm wanting to blow new strength into you. I'm going to lift you up, I'm going to give you those eagle's wings. But then you need to fall into my grace. You need to call on my name. You need to cry out like Peter did. Lord, I'm sinking in my depression. I'm sinking in my despair. I'm sinking in my anger. I'm sinking in the coldness of my heart, the unresponsiveness of my heart. I'm sinking in my hopelessness for some other reason. I just have lost all hope. Whatever it is, that he would cry out to him. He's still the one that draws near to those who draw near to him. He's not far from you. He has not forgotten the cry of your heart. Maybe if you are here and you have not called upon the name of Jesus, then I want to encourage you as well that you would take that step and that you would come to the front, that we could pray with you. But if you have an area in your life, and I just felt that there's some of us, you just need to step away from your seat, step out of from where you are, just to make a physical step, to signify in the Spirit, I will act upon the Word of God. I'll say, God, I'm stepping towards you. My heart's desire is not for people to be in awe of my magnificent gifts, people to be in awe of how wonderful I am. Siwan said, it's not about me, it's not about us. It is simply about this thing, the one that we are with. It's glorious, beautiful, amazing, loving, holy, precious, the creator of the ends of the earth. So if there is something in your heart that you just need to bring to the Lord Jesus morning as we worship Him, I want to encourage you to step away from where you are, just as a sign of faith, a step of faith, stepping out of the boat onto the water. Say, I'm stepping away from what has been. I'm walking to the front to say to you, Lord Jesus, I'm submitting this to your greatness. I refuse to believe the lie that you cannot save me from this. That you cannot redeem me, that you cannot deliver me or my family. Some of you just need to come and stand proxy for your family as well. Hallelujah. Father, we bring you our hearts and we thank you. And as we worship you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, God, to move among us, to change us, to transform us. We honor you and we bless you. As we're going to worship the Lord and as we're going to minister to some people, you are welcome after we've sung the song to go and get your kids in. Enjoy your Sunday, to have an amazing week. But while the Lord is busy working in your heart, don't go. He's here. He's with us. Have an impact your heart. He doesn't want your heart to leave you unchanged. Don't bring the same stuff you brought into this room. Don't take it with you. There's no need. Don't carry it with you. Not if the God that you serve is alive and if He's real. Take Him upon His word. Trust Him again. Take that step of faith. The Lord bless you. Have an amazing day. Thanks, band.